Everybody, and welcome to another edition of Beyond Reality. I'm your host, Dr. Shelley Kerr. You can visit me online at www.galactichealing.org, or you can give me a call at 469-556-4325. You can visit the show site at www.beyondrealityshow.com. I'm coming to you from a beautiful mountain cabin in Colorado, and my guest today is a very fabulous astrologer. I've been using her book now for a few years, and over the weekend I was at the International New Age Trade Show in Denver, Colorado, and I happened to run into her and some other new friends, and she pulled her book out, and I went, oh my gosh, this is like one of the greatest books on astrology that I've ever used in my life. And so I wanted to have her on the show today. My guest is Madeline Gerwick, and Madeline is a wonderful professional astrologer who has a book called The Good Timing Guide, and she puts this out every year. It's the only book that I've ever seen that my cat could actually understand, and some of you are going to know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's very difficult for the modern, normal person out there to understand astrology, and what she's done in this book is she's got the calendar listed, and it's color-coded, and it tells you exactly when you're supposed to start things, when you should just go take a break, you know, when to, like, beware of business negotiations and things like that. And I had told you earlier in another episode that I had just gone to India. And the people in India are extremely interested in this kind of information. And some of my Vedic astrologers, if you've heard past shows with David Hawthorne, he's totally into that, that you need to consult your astrologer before you make certain things happen. And one of my friends out here has been using Madeline's services for years and claims that her business has tripled since she listened to the advice that Madeline's giving about just starting things when it's we would call it in Vedic, like, auspicious, like in a very good time. If you will start certain things, you'll have a better result, and then you'll begin to start, you know, living the life that you choose to live and you deserve to live. So, Madeline, welcome to Thank Beyond
you.
Reality.
Thank you.
So tell us about, before we get into, I want to talk about, like, some of the things that are coming up astrologically, but how did you get into this? How did you become an astrologer?
Well, that's a great question. The first thing that happened to me was I was waitressing one day, and a guy came in and watched me for about 10 minutes, and he said, I bet you're a Virgo. And, of course, he was right. And I was so shocked that anybody could guess that after watching me for 10 minutes that I actually went out on a date with a guy, and he had a book called Heaven Knows.
I've seen that.
Yes, by Grant Louis.
Yeah, I've got that at home.
And so I looked up myself in that book and went, oh, my God, this is really incredibly accurate, and proceeded to study astrology and eventually became an astrologer. But in terms of becoming a business astrologer, I was working in business for a number of years, and I was watching astrology and what was happening, and realized that I was literally watching the planets, the energy of the planets unfolding in front of me every day at work. Mm-hmm. And so I began to realize that, oh, I need to pay attention to what's happening in terms of what's going on overhead for what's happening at work. And eventually I did a hand-colored calendar for some of the managers at the corporation where I was working. And when I left there, I eventually changed that into the Good Timing Guide.
How did the corporation handle you giving them a hand-colored chart at first?
Well, it was quite secretive, you see. There were only a few people in the company that knew I knew astrology, and they were very trusted confidants, and they were senior managers. And I actually was able to alert them to the fact that the company was going to be bought probably about 3 years ahead of time. Because I could see in the cycles that was going to occur. And of course, it did occur precisely on schedule, interestingly enough. And they were, of course, well forewarned and knew when to get out. so it was helpful for them. And it was helpful for them career-wise because they were in tune with when the company was going to change its president and, you know, various things like that that were occurring.
And then they were your fan.
Yes. That's right.
There you go.
Yes.
Don't you think, I mean, you know, I do past life regressions for a living, and so a lot of times when people are having a trouble in their life, you know, we take it back and we think, well, maybe that's just my karma, or, you know, I've got to go learn a lesson. But the more that I am around this stuff, I really do believe, because I've witnessed it myself, that when you start things in astrologically sound times, that they really do work out better.
They do, yes. And you can be dealing with both situations. In other words, people frequently choose bad timing to do things because they're trying to work out a lesson.
Well, exactly.
You know, there's a certain synchronicity in that. But once you become aware of timing, you can choose to make a different choice. And that's when things get very interesting and just a lot more empowered in terms of how you can accomplish things so much more easily.
Right. I'm talking to Madeline Gerwick. You're listening to Beyond Reality. You can visit Madeline online and see this book at www.astro-cycles.com. So I noticed, I met you over the weekend at this show in Denver, and it seems that I met you on Saturday. Now, I've looked in the guide, and that looked like it was kind of a warning day, but I thought meeting you was a really great thing.
So, I had a great time.
Right.
Now, there was a yellow final result then, right?
Yeah, I think yellow means it's challenging or...
Yeah, it would be a challenging final result in terms of it wouldn't meet expectations if we had done something like sign a contract, for example. But for meeting somebody, the final result code doesn't actually impact us meeting somebody for the first time because you're not actually creating a point of finality, which is what's necessary for the final result code. The final result code only works when you are creating something new in the sense of you're signing a contract, you're buying something, you're making a decision that is final. In other words, in the corporation where I worked, we would frequently do things like, decide to approve a budget for a new product, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, or approve a particular decision to change a product line or something like that, you see, or a manufacturing process, something like that. And those kinds of decisions, if they're approved and signed off on a yellow day, then they're not going to meet expectations, you see. Or if it was approved or signed off during a day when there's a timeout, then nothing's going to come of that. I used to watch a number of the product lines or the prospective products being approved during timeout periods. And they would spend, you know, quarter or $500,000 and then figure out that, oh, that's not going to work. And then they would cancel the program. But
wow.
So it's the time that you are doing something that has a point of finality or a consequence. In other words, you can't just go back on it and without a consequence. But when you meet somebody or you are just talking about an idea, those kinds of things are not actually what we would call a new start by the definition of an astrological definition. There has to be a consequence. So a new start has to have something like you purchase something, you sign a contract, you hire somebody, you pay for a trade show, you pay for an add-in, a magazine or a directory, something like that. There has to be some kind of a final point of finality. There has to be some decision that's not going to be changed. sent me.
What I love about the guide is how you have the little dollar signs in there.
Yes.
These are good days to make money.
Yes, great days to make money. Yes, indeed.
Is that what kinds of planetary aspects comprise good days? Is it Jupiter or what?
Jupiter and Venus. And it's days when typically it's moon, sextile, or trine Jupiter or Venus, or conjunct them, or the sun, sextile, trine, or conjunct Jupiter or Venus. Now, or Venus and Jupiter get together and start talking to each other in some nice aspect. And I don't actually include squares and oppositions because although people will overspend on those days, they're not always happy that they did it. And they will sometimes return the stuff because they later feel that, oh, I overspent, and so, you know, I'm going to take it back. And then, you know, so you don't have the easy growth that you get with the sextile or the trine. But people will make choices to overspend during those times as well, although I don't show them.
The thing I like the most about it, though, is like I said before, I mean, I don't have to understand, because I think that to become a professional astrologer, as I don't have to tell you this, but, you know, you've studied this for several years. It's
right.
Like speaking a foreign language, and most of us don't speak that foreign language. It's like going to Mexico, and we can ask for the baño and a cerveza, but then that's going to be about it, you know what I mean?
Right.
We don't have any business. I feel like I'm an amateur.
Sure.
You know, I know just enough to be dangerous, but I really don't have any business with it, and that's the thing that I like about this book, is that I don't have to have any business doing it. I just look and follow the instructions, and I had this book before and used it, and I know that this works. I mean,
yes.
To a certain degree, I feel like I have an inner vibe about some days I'm just getting, you know, I'm not supposed to be doing anything.
Uh-huh.
But I think that sometimes we get distracted by the outer world. It's harder to listen to that inner vibe, and so this just puts it right in writing for us.
Yes, and another thing that's easy about it is that, for example, a lot of people are very good at picking up on the energy in the present moment. So they might know that, oh, the energy's low, I'm not going to go off and propose that my boss give me a raise today. I'm not, you know, they can tell from the energy. But when you're trying to plan meetings, and particularly when you're working with a lot of people, it's very hard to plan in advance without knowing what the energy is going to be like in a day. And so that's where the guide is really, really helpful, because you can choose good days to have your meetings with good final results and outcomes that are appropriate for what you're trying to accomplish. Not run into something like a timeout period all day when whatever you do decide is not going to work out. And timeout periods are interesting because they have, what I found when I watched them at the corporation was that we always had either a situation where we were missing information that turned out to be critical to the decision, or we misunderstood critical information. And so we always went down a path that we would never have embarked down had we had that information. And, of course, we would eventually get that information, and then we would scrap all of our efforts, and literally they would go down the drain, all the time, money, and whatever that we put into the choices that we made on those days. And just simple things that you can kind of check on your own are things such as when you have bought gifts or items for yourself, gifts for other people or items for yourself, and you've brought them home and they sit in the closet and you never use them. Those are the things that you buy during timeout periods. And I've even had situations where somebody told me, this is what I want for Christmas. And I got stuck not having enough time, enough good time to buy Christmas gifts, and actually said, well, okay, it's a timeout, but this person has actually asked me to buy this for them. So I'm just going to go buy it because I know this is what they want, and I'm not going to worry about the timeout. A couple of days later, the person called me back and said, geez, I hope you didn't buy that for me yet because I forgot that I ordered it and it just arrived.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so I had to take it back.
Right. No, not following your own advice.
Right, not following my own advice. And
I
decided
love it.
After that.
Yeah.
I was not going to buy things during timeouts.
I'm going to remember this because I sometimes do have this buyer's remorse thing.
Right. Yeah, that's what happens during timeouts. And you never know why you don't use it necessarily. You get it home and maybe it doesn't have the color that you thought it had, or there's some tiny flaw, or it just doesn't fit with what you thought it was going to fit with. Whatever it is, it just sits there and it doesn't get used.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I guess I am going to start paying attention to that. I never thought about that before.
Yeah, it's definitely that's a point of finality when you purchase something, and so the final result does make a difference then.
Yeah, because you really are bringing, even if it's a pair of new shoes or something, you're bringing that into your energy.
Right.
So,
right. Exactly.
Part of you, so I guess, you want to have optimal energy when you're doing that.
Yes. Well, you want to know that the product is going to be what you think it is, not just, turn out to be that looks good, and then, when you wear the things, they're uncomfortable as heck. So.
Can you buy things during yellow, which is the caution period?
You can. I've had people report interesting situations that occurred during yellow periods. So one guy I recall in particular had spent a lot of time measuring his laptop and all the things that he needed to carry around with it. And then he went into a store and bought a case during a time when there was a yellow final result, and got it home only to discover that even though he had measured it and the case was bigger than that, it still didn't fit. So
it's incredible.
So, yeah, I know. So sometimes you think you can get around things like that. It's just interesting to notice that, there are some days to buy things that are better than others. And so, and sometimes it doesn't matter that much. You might, I don't know, maybe you go purchase a cosmetic or something that, was inexpensive and not a big deal. So you might not notice, on things like that. But if you're purchasing something that matters to you, maybe it's a suit or a car or something big, some furniture or something that you are planning to have be a major part of your life, then you most ideally would purchase it on a day with a green final result.
Interesting. Now, what do you say to people people are saying, well, come on, I can't plan my life around this. I got to do things. I can't wait. Just like you couldn't, make your Christmas shopping ideal.
Right.
You have to do it best you can.
Everybody's got to do what they've got to do. If you use it for times when are important to you, you're better off than not knowing about it at all.
Right. Oh, I totally agree. Right. I noticed this week we're having a bunch of dollar signs starting today and running through the end of the week. So it's good news.
Yes. Now let me look at that real quickly here. I'll just pull up and see
what
looks
like we got some red
back here. Oh, let's see. Well, today we've got Moon sextile Venus. And then,
what does that mean?
That's just a nice aspect for love and money. And people feel good during those times, and they're more apt to spend their money during those times because they feel good and they are happy to release their money at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see, another thing that's happening this week is, in fact, it starts also today. This would be a day that I would consider kind of like, almost if I were to show these, like a double green dollar day. The other thing that's happening this week is we have Sun trine Jupiter. And Sun trine Jupiter is a high growth aspect. So it's a very nice opportunity to really put yourself out in a way that is can bring you all kinds of great benefits. So this week is this is going to last about 3 or 4 days in the applying side, and it'll last another 3 or 4 days on the side of it that's separating. So it really will last for virtually a whole week, this energy for high growth. But usually in the Good Timing Guide, I only show the applying side, just because that's when it's the strongest.
When you say the applying side, like how we're actually going to apply this to the day?
Meaning the energy is getting stronger.
Oh, okay.
It hasn't peaked yet. It'll peak in about 3 days. And so that fourth day from now will be like the peak, and then, you know, then after that the energy starts to dissipate. But even for the first 3 days after it starts to dissipate, it will be quite, it'll be strong enough, I should say, that you can still do high growth activities.
Right. Okay. I think this is a great week.
I'm having
a great week, so I hope other people are.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Here's like something, like in my private practice, you know, people are coming. In my opinion, the only thing people want is like love, good health, and money.
Uh-huh.
Break it down to the real core.
Right.
When we're talking about the timing guide, one thing I like about it is you've got it in these four columns where one of them is about the contracts and the legal issues. One's about communication and when we do that. And then the other is about when we should start things. And then you have the final result of the day.
Uh-huh.
People are talking about like getting into relationships, or particularly like marriages, like when you're going to start your marriage. Don't you think that that will determine the success of that particular relationship?
Yes. Yes, I do. And if I could say, I have had a number of people contact me for marriage dates and times. And usually when you're looking at a real important timing, like a wedding or a surgery or starting a new business, you're only going to have maybe, for that wedding vow, you're going to have a 10 or 20 minute window, depending on where you are in the country and the time of year that you do it, before things start to change significantly in the chart. And so sometimes it can last longer and the change is still fine, and you know, with a couple that's getting married. But if they have some specific goals in mind, they're going to get a window of, you know, 20 minutes maybe, depending, to say those vows on that particular day that will really sort of seal in the cycles for what they want to create with that wedding.
Like if they wanted to create financial prosperity and happiness and peace and all
yes,
that.
Yes, well, and not everybody is after kids, but some
right.
people are. And so, you know, you have to kind of look and see what is it that the couple is wanting to create together. And, you know, depending on what they want, you know, those pieces can move from one area of their life to another area of their life in a fairly short window. So it is a great idea to have a timing for a wedding or a surgery. Usually with surgeries, you're limited. You can get times that the surgeon will schedule you for, and then I can look and see which one looks the best with your chart. Those are very important because you don't want to have surgery on a day when, you know, you and the surgeon are not in good correspondence together. You know, that would not be a good thing. Or, for that matter, the anesthesiologist.
Well, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things I've seen that way happen. And years ago, before I got into the corporate world, I was in medicine. So it's very interesting for me to watch and see what happens with surgery dates. And some of them can be pretty scary. So it's not the sort of thing even if the Good Timing Guide is best at, because the Good Timing Guide can only take into account what's happening overhead, whereas a surgery really needs to incorporate your own personal chart.
Because here in the guide, you're just showing us the general trend, but the individual's chart and aspects are going to affect every minute of the day.
Yes, for a surgery, yeah, or a wedding. But But let me just also clarify on that, that your projects have the cycles of when you start them. Not your timing, not your cycles. They don't have your cycles. They have the cycles of the day in which you start the project. The date and time that you start a particular project. Say you launch a website or introduce a new product or start a new company. Those things are going to have their own set of cycles, their own set of energies, and it's going to be based on the date and time that you started.
So even if I'm starting something new, maybe that the outer world doesn't even know about, it doesn't matter. It's just about when I energetically say, I'm starting this. That's when it starts.
It has to be something that has a point of finality to it. Remember we were talking about points of finality can be something that
like a deadline,
you introduce
or
it to something, you announce it to the world. Let's suppose you're going to start a workshop, for example. You could pick a good day to have the workshop, but the day that you announce it to the world is going to be more important in the sense that that's going to tell you whether or not the workshop will be successful in terms of the marketing effort.
Right.
See, so you might, for example, have a good day for the workshop so that the workshop itself would be successful, but if you announce it on a day when things are not so good, the marketing part of it won't work so well. There's a point of finality, you see, when you can't take something back. So when you announce something to the world, that's the point of finality, and that's what starts it.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
You're listening to Beyond Reality. I'm Dr. Shelley Caron. I'm talking to Madeline Gerwick, astrologer, about good timing. And you can see her on the web at www.astrocycles.com. So when you're doing a private, like, don't you give people dates and things, right?
Yes.
Do they just call you? Do you do this by phone? Or how does this work?
Yes. Well, frequently I will talk to a person by phone or email and then find out the particulars of what it is they're trying to create. And then I go off and work on the computer to find a date and time that matches what they're creating. And then email them back with the particulars for when to do it and how to set it up, et cetera, so that they can be successful in creating that.
Do you, when somebody calls me, like I talked to a Vedic astrologer before, sometimes Vedic astrology to me looks a little bit too much at all the warnings.
Sounds a bit dire, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a little more dire.
Uh-huh.
To say the least, like one time I called a guy and I said, hey, you know, I need an auspicious moment to do something. I don't remember what it was. And he's like, well, you don't have any of those coming up for 6 more months. And I was going, well, oh my God, I'm not even going to leave the house then, you know. I can't feel that dire about everything because I have to function. So, I mean, don't you think, like, let's say somebody calls you up and they say, you know, people are getting married or something and they want to call you. I mean, surely you can find something for them. I mean, can't you find, even within, let's say they picked a day already. I mean, if it was not a national disaster, couldn't you give them some time during that day that would make it more beneficial? Or would you?
Yeah, you could, but it might not overcome whatever the negatives for a day are. Let's suppose you have an eclipse day. That can be pretty hard to overcome an eclipse. Depends on the eclipse, of course, but we have seen people who did not consult with astrologers, obviously, and get married on eclipse days and have the wedding from hell. I mean, you know, it's just, and I wouldn't even tell you all the horrendous things that happened to that particular couple, but things like that are very hard to overcome. For example, when people want to start a new company, I do not recommend people to start companies during Mars retrograde, which is when it's very hard to start something new. It's extremely hard. In fact, we're not even supposed to be starting something new because that energy, the planet Mars, which is in charge of new starts, is moving backwards and it's reconsidering all the needs and goals that it should have, wants to have, what motivates it. All these things need to be reconsidered before you push forward. And so when you try to push forward when you're not supposed to push forward, you can really get a less than ideal result. You could, of course, minimize, I mean, you could pick a date in that time period, and Mars retrograde will last for 10 weeks when it happens every 2 years. You could pick a date that has some good energies during that period to kind of offset it, you see. So if somebody's really hot to trot, they can't wait, you know, sure, I can find them a date or a time that will be better than nothing, but they still will have a fair amount of challenges to deal with if they're going to start during a time period that the universe would normally tell us this is not a starting time.
Right, you still have to say,
you still have to deal with it.
About this.
Yeah.
You mentioned the eclipse earlier, and I think we had a big eclipse, didn't we, in April?
March 14th and March 29th.
What was that about? I mean, it seemed kind of like there was a huge energetic shift going on. Do you remember? And
yes. Now, March 14th and 29th, those particular eclipses had a Saros cycle. And the Saros cycle, there are actually cycles that last over 1,200 years that basically, and there's a very beginning eclipse that starts at either the North or South Pole, and the eclipse moves around the Earth and occurs again every 18 years, and when it gets to the other pole, then it's basically done. And so the beginning, the energy of the very beginning eclipse for that particular set of series of eclipses continues throughout all of the eclipses for that entire series for the 1,200 plus years that it occurs. And so the energy for that was that the March eclipses was related to getting information, getting hunches, getting ideas, intuitions, dreams, visions, psychic hits, that if you followed it, if you followed your hunch, followed your intuition, your inner guidance, would actually reward you. So people who were on their path and decided, oh, you know, I'm just getting a hit that I need to do this or do that, whatever it was, and they went and investigated it. And sometimes people just needed a few weeks back then to just go off and do whatever it was, you know, to be on that path and just follow the trail. So if they actually did that and paid attention to the information they got, they actually were rewarded. Now, that's what I would call a very good eclipse. We don't have too many like that. We get them now and then. I mean, you know, it varies a great deal. The one we're having this fall in September, and I cannot recall the dates offhand, but they are about completion and loss. And you can kind of imagine how when you complete a project or a program or something, there's a sense that, oh, you know, there's a certain amount of jubilance that you did whatever it was that you set out to do. And then there's a sense of loss because you're not going to go back and continue to do that program or that project because it's over. And so that is the one that is happening in September. And that can relate in all kinds of ways. It can be about relationships. It can be about companies you worked for or jobs that you're doing. It can be about a project, a program, all kinds of different things.
So do you foresee that a lot of people will be in career transition during that time? Or
probably, yes, or relationship transition, or just, you know, things are completing and it's time for them to move on to the next thing, whatever that is for them. And, of course, it will depend on their chart and on the company's chart, depending on, you know, whether you're looking at a company or a person.
Right. Yeah, I know one of the big things in astrology is Mercury retrograde, and I think we're getting ready to go into one in July.
Yes, we are.
Still, I mean, you know how sometimes, like, if you think it is, then it becomes? I mean, is it real that this is causing electronics to go haywire in communications? I mean, what do you think?
Yes, actually, it does seem to be real. People who don't know about Mercury retrograde experience it just as the same as people who do know about it. And so it does seem to impact us at a physical reality level. Now, I don't know how this works per se, but Kryon says, and he's channeled by Lee Carroll,
right,
that the astrology works because the planets have a gravitational effect on the sun, and that the sun then transmits whatever those gravitational effects are to the Earth via the solar wind. And that once the solar wind brings that information to the Earth, it's basically put on the Earth's electromagnetic grid. And then from there, it responds, our DNA responds to it. So, and interestingly enough, Cryon is one of the few places where I have seen that one of the DNA layers is an astrology layer. In other words, that's where the astrology strands, you know, astrology information responds to in one of the DNA strands.
It would make sense because, you know, in India and other places, they've been practicing these astrological arts for thousands
of years, yes.
Yeah.
And they're not crazy.
But you do things like that, that does get encoded into your DNA, just like behavior and survival of the fittest and all the other things.
Right. And if you were to ask astrologers, they would tell you that your DNA behaviors are astrologically encoded into you. You see, the timing that you chose to be born has in it all of the coding for the behaviors that you bring with you when you're born. And so, and all the strengths and challenges that you're planning to work on. So all of that is included in your DNA when you're born, as well as your entire Akashic record of all the lifetimes that you've had.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Now, you talked about the eclipse and the transitions in September. What's happening then through the end of the year that we can hopefully look forward to?
Well,
after we transition, then is it going to get better?
Well, we actually have, this is probably going to be about the end of August. We're going to have another Jupiter trine Uranus. And actually, very shortly here, we're going to have another, let's see here if I can tell you quickly when this is going to happen. So from about June 30th until July 6th, we're going to have a lovely grand trine between the Sun, Jupiter, and Uranus. And
wow,
that is a fabulous opportunity to be doing unusual things, to have high growth in unexpected ways. And it's really great for broadcasting, by the way. Uranus is a great broadcasting type energy. It's also great for anything that's metaphysical, anything scientific, unusual, electronic, innovative, all those kinds of things are highly favored during this
time period. The grand trine means like it's a cosmic gift, right?
Yes. And yes, very much so. And then in late August, we'll also have the Jupiter will trine to Uranus again. And it'll be direct by then. So let's see. That will happen. Oh, the last part of August. I mean, really from about the middle of August to...
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.